Welcome to episode whatever of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea, and I'm also here with...
I'm Andrew.
So I'm sure some of you are wondering where the hell we've been, why we've been away, where we're at, if we're still alive. Some people have asked Andrew for proof of life for me because they just didn't know where I was at. Shout out to Lucy for looking out for my health and well-being.
Yeah, shout out to Lucy.
Shout out to my girl, Luce. But yeah, so we're here, and we're not really focused on the episode number. This isn't really like a relaunch episode or anything like that. This is kind of just like a checking in episode, I suppose, with everything that's been going on around the city, around the country, around the world, you know, how, you know, we just wanted to see, make sure that everyone was okay, letting you guys know that we're still here. And we have been getting, you know, some emails and some messages and even text messages for the people that actually do have her phone number. Like we said, just checking on us, just letting everyone know we're okay. And we're very thankful and fortunate due to all the COVID stuff that employment wise, you know, Andrew and I have been very, very fortunate, but we know many people around the valley have not. So we always try to be conscious of that when we're talking to people and our interactions and things like that. And obviously another big thing that is actually happening right now is that the Black Lives Matter movement is gaining more momentum, and that's actually really awesome to see. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on with my throat there. So you know, one of the things that has been mentioned time after time on the podcast is basically how we're in the shadow of LA, and like the activism here, what would you say about it, Andrew, compared to like the bigger markets?
I think it's grown a lot in the past maybe 5 or 6 years, but I don't think that it's anywhere close to what a large market city would consider.
Do you feel like it's because we're not a large market, or what do you mean?
I just feel like there's a lot of separation between cultures and things like that that kind of don't align 100% sometimes, or people are forced to see different things, and if they don't agree with it, they don't really support it, I guess you can say. I don't know.
What do you mean, like how a lot of the people here are transplants in the city?
Yeah, there's not very many Phoenicians as like people who were, you know, born and raised here. My family is, obviously we are transplants from California.
So, from Norwalk.
So, you know, I guess we just have people from different cities and different states had different viewpoints. So I think it's hard to get behind certain things because not everyone is grew up here and has been here supporting the things that they have been supporting.
I see what you're saying. So you're basically, your point of view, basically how people come here from all walks of life, and people come in here, in Arizona, especially in the Phoenix metro area, and because they have different core values, and people do have different core values within a certain geographical region, but there's more commonalities when people kind of like stay where they're born and raised at. But since you have people coming from everywhere, it's kind of like a smorgasbord of values, of people, experiences, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's kind of basically what I was saying.
Okay, just making sure. So but, you know, I totally agree with Andrew on that he's 100%. I think that does make it harder sometimes for us to come together because people feel a little bit leery because they've been stuck in their bubbles their whole lives, or, you know, their families come from elsewhere and they just don't know, like where they fit in at, where they want to be and things like that. So I'm glad to see, though, the uptick in activism and social justice, as you would say, with the younger generation. I feel like I had a hope for our generation because Andrew and I are technically millennials, big bad millennials. You know, you always hear all the memes and the jokes about the millennials. And I just feel like we kind of like failed in a way. I don't know. Like, we just didn't do what we were supposed to do. I mean, you can make all kind of arguments and state maybe because there's just so much stuff that happened within our lifespan, especially if you weren't kind of born with a more like head start in life that kind of sent you back. But, you know, I'm glad to see Gen Z and maybe even younger-ish millennials go out there and really pushing hard for change and doing all the hard work, and especially just recognizing a lot that basically, you know, that we are, everyone has strikes against them, and everyone has, you know, like me, you know, I have things going against me. I am maybe oppressed in some ways, but I know I also have things going for me. Something super obvious. Obviously, you look at me, if you've seen what I look like, and I'm a light-skinned person. Am I, like, I identify as Chicana? Am I Mexican-American? Sure, yes, but I'm also light-skinned. I'm born here, so I don't have to worry about citizenship status. Like, I have, you know, I'm able-bodied. I have no disabilities, and it's like, you know, I have all these things going for me, so even though I have some things working against me, I also have things going for me. And that I know that by me recognizing another group's or another person's oppression doesn't take away from my own. And that's something that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, is really just wanting to admit that, you know, anti-blackness is global. So no matter usually where you're going to go in the world, you know, black people unfortunately will experience potentially some type of, you know, racism, discrimination, prejudice, and things like that. And for some reason, you know, that's just a hard pill for some people to swallow. And you know, I do encourage you to, if you don't really understand that, there's tons of resources out there. Don't go messaging someone that you know is black or your friend and be like, explain this to me, teach me, you know. They don't exist. Black people don't exist on this earth to make you better, to teach you, you know. They are people, and they want to live their lives and thrive on their, you know, in their own sense and their own confidence. So another uptick that I've also been seeing is more black creatives being pushed to the forefront, which it's about fucking time, because, you know, just being and jumping in different circles, you kind of see like how the cliques form, which is fine and whatever. But then I noticed that there'd be just like really great black creatives, and I'd be having conversations with people, and they were telling me their experiences of, you know, they would find a space here in the valley where it would be for people of color. And a lot of times, you know, there would be black people kind of in those circles, but they still felt excluded because they felt talked over and things like that. So, you know, and it's always funny to me with music, though, because music, especially with things like we do, like we like to share music, and what do we call ourselves usually?
We're track selectors.
Yeah, track selectors. So
we ain't no DJs in this show.
Yeah, we're not DJs, okay? Takes a lot of skill and talent, so. There's a lot of really amazing DJs and even just track selectors around the valley. And then to the core of it, music is black. The roots of music are just black. So I don't care what genre it is. It's invented, pushed to the forefront, whatever you want to say. It was invented by somebody that was black. So, you know, when I see people claim, like, this is my music, this is mine, especially when they didn't actually make the music, you know, it turns me off a little bit. And the fact that I know that there was really great events happening around the valley with a lot of black DJs, and, you know, if you go to the event, sometimes you look around the room, it's like nobody was showing up. I mean, more, I'm saying like people that look more like me or lighter skinned, people that are white. And that was really disappointing, and that made me feel really ugly inside, and I didn't really understand why, you know, especially, and this is, you know, all the stuff that we're expressing right now is just our own opinion. So I have had, like I said, deep conversations with people and things like that. So it's just more of like an observational thing. And if you're upset at the fact that we're talking about this, I really don't know what to say to you. I'm not going to apologize to you. If you feel like this is being too political, well, too fucking bad. And I don't really have anything else to say to you. You can turn this off. I don't really give a shit. So, you know, and music is political. So you can't tell me that we're getting too political, because I'm sure there's something that you listen to, and it probably has political undertones. It's just like those people that, have you seen the memes, Andrew, where a lot of the people that listen to Rage Against the Machine, like Tom Morello posted something, and they were like, when did you start getting political?
Yeah, and they've been fucking political since the very beginning, which is funny, because I was just watching like a little snippet about like how they've been political since the very fucking beginning, and how people are like, oh, I'm not a fan of you no more because you're political. It's like, where the fuck have you been? You really not understand this band's stance on politics.
Yes, exactly. So really quick, I'm going to pause real quick and just give out some information I wanted to give at the top that I totally forgot, but we're kind of winging it in this episode. So let me just throw it in here. There's going to be two COVID testing sites where you don't have to have insurance to go and be tested. And the first one is on the east side in Mesa. It's going to be from 6 to 10. The number to call is 480-376-2170. It's at embreezewomenhealthcare.com/testing-blitz. You can go there to register and lock in a time for testing. They also have antibody testing, and like I said, it's free. There's no insurance required. The second site is over here, repping for the west side, okay? West Phoenix, my heart, my soul. It's at Desert West Park. Andrew, does that ring a bell?
Yes, I grew up right there by Desert West Park.
Literally, like, feet.
Like a block away. I've lived right there on Encanto. Right there in Maryville.
Shout out to Encanto, or the other Encanto Park. People call Desert West Encanto Park, but it's not.
Well, because it's on Encanto. No,
I know, because I do too. I'm not going to lie, yeah. But yeah.
Okay. The real Encanto Park is in Central Phoenix, and it's bougie.
Yeah, I don't care. I like that park too.
Yeah.
But at that one as well, you don't need any insurance, but you do require an ID, and that one's a drive-through testing facility, and it's on the testing dates, let's see, or June 20th and 27th, and it's from 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you don't have insurance and you kind of maybe think you've been exposed, or even if you're just wanting to get tested just to see what happens, especially if you've been out there in the streets protesting, props to you. You know, try to stay as safe as you can, but it's really important that you keep your health on top, because we're going to need you to stay into this fight to, you know, help keep furthering the causes out here. So make sure you show up to one of those. And if you live on the east side or the west side, no insurance needed, which, trust me, I know insurance is a struggle.
Struggle is real with insurance.
Yes, it is. So and really quick, an org you can look up on Facebook or Instagram is Black Lives Matters Phoenix Metro, and you can go to blmphxmetro.org. and if you want to help them cover rent or fund educational programs that they want to put on, you can do that via PayPal at paypal.me/blmphoenixmetro. But it's Phoenix spelled out p-h-o-e-n-i-x, not the abbreviation like the website. And you can also donate to Black People's Justice Fund, Metro Phoenix. And you can also follow Black PHX OC, which is the Black Phoenix Org Collective on Instagram. So those are just some things that I did want to mention to put out there. And we'll post them on the podcast. So basically informational leaks. And even if you've seen them already, well, guess what? You're going to see them again. And you better, you know, if you can, open up your wallet. Please donate.
Yes, please do. We understand that with the COVID thing, with COVID, you know, the outbreak still continuing, and we know that people don't have jobs and stuff like that. So if you can't, there are so many different things you can do without donating money. You can donate your time. You can just donate more support. You can do anything. You can, if you're an artist, you can draw a piece. Anything just to support this cause, because it's really important.
Yeah, you can donate. I know you as well. You can donate like cardboard for signs, or you can even make signs and donate them, which is a great, I think, a family project if people want to do that. If they want to, they don't want to have their kids out there, but they do want to have them involved, and they can have that conversation with them about, you know, what's actually happening in the world, how it may or may not affect them, and why it's very important. You know, why Black Lives Matter is essential, and it's something that has unfortunately been a long time coming. And I really hope that, like I said, we all keep this momentum, not just online, because it's really easy to post hashtags and black squares and maybe post links, you know, because that's sometimes people can be a little self-serving with that. I'm talking about non-black people saying like, oh, look, I did this, you know, I want visibility, praise me. No, this is not what this is about. This isn't about you. This isn't about getting praise or your ego. This is about, you know, justice, and just, it's just you saying that you understand that Black Lives Matter, and you understand that Black people are just much more marginalized than other groups. And there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that. Like I said, it doesn't take away from your struggles or your oppression or anything that you've ever gone through. And another thing that I notice non-Black people do that really turns me off is they'll say like, well, I care because my family member or my friend is black. And, you know, you're that's you centering your feelings, which is something you really shouldn't do, because you shouldn't say, I finally see the humanity because I have a personal connection. Because it's not about you or your connection. It's about that black people deserve to be live and thrive in this society and to be treated as equals and people, and they haven't. So, you know, it's just, don't center yourself, don't center your feelings. You know, I don't want to try to talk too much on the subject, because obviously I'm not black, but I just want to say to all the non-black people out there, just please be mindful and don't speak over people. You know, let people have their voice and let them speak for themselves.
Word.
Okay, so like I said, it's really important that we just keep this energy and we keep going. You know, something that happened to us, but happened when we were walking, was we were just walking around in our neighborhood, you know, being socially distant, walking with each other, obviously. And the area that we live in, what would you say the demo is?
It's the people?
Yeah, the makeup, like race or ethnicity.
It's majority white and Mexican. That's the majority of this neighborhood.
Yeah, so, and you know, there is black members of the community and where we live and things like that. But you know, I was walking just kind of like within our little suburb walkway, I guess you can say. And I didn't see this person coming. I wasn't paying attention because I was just talking to my daughter in our own little world. And then my daughter looked back, and I guess she looked forward, and I'm like, what did she look at? So I looked back to see what she looked at, and there happened to be a man. He came on his bike and he kind of stopped, and then I kind of looked at him, and then I moved out of the way. So my daughter's just very clumsy, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with her, but pulled her out of the way. And then the man, he had a mask on, you know, he was being socially responsible, and he told me, I'm so sorry that I scared you. And I kind of looked at him, and I could see his eyes, and he was black, and it just broke my heart that he felt like he needed to apologize to me for existing, basically. That's what he did. And, you know, I didn't take offense to it because I can't center my emotions and be like, I wasn't doing anything. Was I doing something? It's like, no, I understand why he feels that way. I totally get it. And I can't sit here and say, well, I wasn't doing anything. You know, it's all about his perception and what happened to him and not what my feelings are. So, you know, I just told him, I said, oh no, sir, you didn't scare me. I'm just trying to move out of the way for you. And then he biked on his way. But just knowing that, just that he had to feel that he had to apologize, that just hurt, you know. And we all have to keep all those things in mind, because sometimes I think we get hung up on our own feelings. Would you say?
Yeah, people just want to be, they want people to know that they support the cause, and they will take it to the greatest lengths to show how much they support it, or how much, or the experiences they have, or they know these people, or they know that person. But that's not support. What, you know, what does that matter in the grand scheme of things? You have to be understanding of the bigger picture, because this isn't just your personal experience. It's about their experience with society as a whole.
Yeah, so, and you know, like I've seen things, you know, even in my workspace, just things happen to my black coworkers, especially my black women coworkers. It seems like they even get it even worse in the workspace, you know. So it's, you don't have to go to HR, because if you haven't understood yet, HR is not for the employee. HR is there for the protection of the company. So if they want to go to HR, be there to back them up, but also just say hey, you know, I felt like they were kind of not fair to you, sorry about that, just to acknowledge that you saw something. Because, you know, being people, when they're racist, it's not all just calling someone the N-word or saying I'm pro-slavery or waving the Confederate flag. There's so much more racism that is covert and not overt. And those are those instances, they call them, you know, the microaggressions and things like that, that are much, much more useful to, they're useful tool in you know, white supremacy and upholding the societal structures that we have. So, you know, if you see something like that, say something. Don't be quiet for your own pocket or your own benefit, because that's not helping anything. Because I see some of these people posting some of these things online, or someone's like, hey, someone posted this, and I know for a fact that, you know, these people, they fake the funk, I guess you can say. So
yeah, don't fake the fucking funk.
Isn't that what Durock would say?
I think? No, that is what Mike would say.
Mike.
Big Mike.
Oh.
Rest in peace, Mike.
Rest in peace to Big Mike.
Mike passed away.
Yeah, Mike passed away. So, and he was a well-respected member of his community, and he greatly contributed.
Yeah, and he would be involved in community centers with children of all colors and all ethnicities. I can't say the word.
Ethnicities.
That's the word. So, you know, he was a really good man.
Yeah, so, but just make sure, like I said, that if you see something, say something. Just, like I said, keep this energy and this momentum, not just online. Check your families, check your coworkers, check the people that you're working with in creative spaces. You know, if, you know, you haven't been around for a while, you might not understand that Phoenix is being gentrified. Basically, it's already happened, basically. So it's not like we're going to stop it. But I think a big part of that, you know, the statistic of Phoenix is at the top of the list with the police department for a metro area of a population of 1 million plus people for deadly shootings, basically, with the police. So number two, our statistic is 11.0 people per 1 million people. And then the next city down would be San Antonio, but it's 5.1. So we're basically over double of them. And that's really troubling. And like I said, I feel like a lot of that is linked to gentrification. Just there's more policing, more visibility. Obviously, they're more militarized, and that's why the whole defund the police movement, so that they can take the funds from the police and put it actually back to the people in the community. And you know, another thing is, like I said, just make sure you put your money where your mouth is. You walk the walk. Don't just do it because you feel like, I don't know, how would you say it?
If you want to be about the cause, be about the cause. You don't need to be we understand that, especially right now with COVID, not everyone can go out and be supporting at the protests and things like that. But there's different things you can do to be supportive of the cause and be about it. Continuously be about it. Don't be about it just today or tomorrow or next week. Be about it. Make it part of your life to constantly be fighting this fight. And if you're doing it just for fucking clicks or likes, then, you know, maybe this isn't for you.
And before we wrap it up here, I'm just going to share a quick experience that I had that I do regret not sharing more publicly earlier. So I will take responsibility for that. I did tell people the reason why I didn't do it as so much publicly is because I didn't want people to think that I was basically just trying to, how would you say, like I had a vendetta, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't feel it necessary to, you know, make statements, because we didn't want people thinking that, oh, they're just being fucking jerks and, you know, whatever, but that's not the case.
So basically, there was someone that I had known for a very long time, and her name was Melissa. So Melissa happened to marry this man named Chuck, or Charlie, however he goes by both. And, you know, eventually over the years, figured out this dude is not a good person. Basically a white supremacist, all into Nazis and shit, whatever. So, record room. So this happened right when we launched the podcast, I would say. So we had been going to Record Room for very many years, even when it was in Scottsdale, and he had a very loyal, awesome employee named Brent. I don't really know Brent on a personal level, only know him from being behind the counter. We've seen him here and there, still a very nice guy. He actually has a booth at Double Nickels.
Yes.
And what is it called?
I believe it's Counterculture.
Yeah, counterculture or something like that. So something happened there. I'm not exactly sure what. But just know that it was a negative experience for the employee, so he ended up leaving, even though he was the lifeblood of the whole business. So Record Room moved to where it's currently at now in Phoenix. So obviously much bigger difference in demographic in Scottsdale. It was an old town, you know, different demo over there. A lot of brunchers and mimosas in that area. And where Record Room is now, it's there is a lot of foot traffic, but it's not by choice because you're walking by wanting to go get, like I said, your mimosa or your Mai Tai. It's because usually you don't have a choice if you're walking in that area and you have a bicycle. So, you know, different demographic. And he, at one point, John had approached me and was like, hey, you know, I need help. There's a lot of this music that I don't understand. You seem like you're a little bit more well-versed on certain things, so can I pull you in for help? And I said, sure. And he's like, okay, the next time you come in, you know, we'll talk about it. So I figured I'm not going to ask about it because I'm not in desperate need of a job. It was just more like a supplemental thing. So ended up going back, and then John told me that he couldn't hire me because I'm a woman and he didn't want any problems in his marriage, which I don't know what that has to do with me. And I get what he was insinuating, and I didn't like it, but I was like, okay, whatever, dude, you know, who cares? So I would go, like, you know, I went back, and then basically he hired that guy, Chuck. So I told and warned John and had a conversation with him in a message. And I was like, you know, do I say something? Do I not? Because it was really weighing on me, because I'm like, I know this guy. I had proof that he was basically saying, like, MAGA, Trump, threatening people, threatening Black people, Mexican people, Indigenous people, pretty much any minority group you can think of. So it ended up boiling down to, I had this conversation with John, and I was like, hey, just letting you know, that dude that you hired, he's not a great guy. He's basically white supremacist. Here's the screenshots to prove them to you. And I only did this because, like I said, I felt a personal responsibility because I saw the stuff this guy was posting, and I was very uncomfortable with it. And I actually had a conversation with, try to have one with him, you know, whatever. Had one with the wife, cut ties, and it was just, it was really ugly. So basically John didn't give a fuck. That's what it boiled down to, for the sake of his own convenience. And I told him, you know, this guy, I've seen him post things, and he says stuff that's like really weird, and it's always like him versus some type of person that's not white, and he calls the cops and all this other stuff, and this is just stuff he claims. So I don't know if these are like wild things he's made up, or if they're actually, like,
if they're actually truthful. I mean, when you're that type of person, you would do anything to try to glorify yourself.
Exactly. So, and I know that he would always constantly talk about how he'd carry a gun and all this other stuff. So I just felt like, you know, John has a duty and a responsibility to his customers that come through that door. So basically, like I said, John didn't give a fuck. And then he told me that, well, he would give me his schedule so that I could go into the store when he wasn't there, because I had gone in once. And this is actually, that's what I forgot to mention. I did go in there. That guy happened to be working. He made me mad, uncomfortable. And then I told him, you know, I have a social responsibility to tell you this, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't care. And then I told him, well, I'm not going to blast you on Facebook or Yelp or anything like that. You know, I'm, like I said, I'm not looking for special treatment for me. I'm looking out for every customer that comes in there, because I know you have a lot of non-white customers. And that was basically the resolution. I just said, I would please appreciate it if you did not mention it to him. But did he mention it to him?
He sure did. We found out through the grapevine he mentioned to him, and he was out talking shit about us, saying that we were calling him racist, which he very much is. And, you know, we were trying to get him fired from his job. We didn't give a fuck about his job. We were just letting that the owner of that business know, hey, you have a racist dude working there. You know, so if you're about that, you're about that. You know, and, you know, if you are, that's cool. You know, whatever, you know, good for you for supporting a racist. But, you know, we're not about that, so we're not going to support you.
Yeah, so I did have conversations with people that I felt comfortable with, that I felt like would understand, because sometimes, you know, if it would get brought up in conversation and someone would mention it, and they would be like, well, I don't really care because I'm just there to buy records. I'm like, but you fucking should care. And that's the problem. We all have to care about each other. We all have to care about each other. Okay? I can't just care about something until, oh, well, this is benefiting me, so, you know, I'm just gonna turn the blind eye, because that happens a lot. And the other person that actually knew about the situation was the owner of fucking Tres Leches and his girlfriend or whatever she is, and she knew about the situation, and they were like adamant, like, no, we're not gonna have anything to do with Melissa and Chuck and da 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 da. But as soon as we stopped associating with them because we saw kind of the shadiness going on over there at the cafe, guess who Mr. Tres Leches called in over there to step right in? Chuck and Melissa, knowing all the hatefulness and the white supremacy and all this other shit. So, you know, just be careful out there, because a lot of these businesses, they'll post like their support and they're about it, and they're really not. And it's not a purity test, it's not anything like that, but, you know, just be careful where you're spending your dollar, because money makes the world go around, unfortunately, and your dollars do locally say a lot. So that's why if you are donating to an org as well, try to make the org as local as you can, because you know that those funds are going more directly back into your community.
Yeah, so, you know, with that being said, I really hope that people understand where we're coming from with this episode. This isn't about us gatekeeping or anything. We're just letting people know and trying to let people be aware of the fact that there's a lot of shit going on in this community, and there's a lot of good things, and but there's still a lot of bad things. And we collectively, as a community or as human beings, have a responsibility to ourselves and to each other to do better and be better people.
Exactly. You have the power. Don't forget that. No one can take your power away from you. You have the power, not just with your dollar, but with your voice, what you pay attention to with your time, who you give your energy to, because that's very important as well. And we hope, like we said, you guys keep this energy and that you guys are still out there. And we will be posting information and resources. And just want to say,
oh, just real fast, I think we're going to say the same thing, so go ahead. Sorry.
No, go on.
No, just obviously, just for the COVID thing, please wear face masks. I know there's a lot of businesses out there saying that they're encouraging face masks. Fuck all those businesses, because you know what? If you don't have the balls to actually come out and say you need to wear a face mask to be in this business, you do not care socially about these people. There's people on your comments saying you guys should make face masks required. You know, or are we saying, I'm going to wear a face mask because that's the safest thing to do? And you're just keep saying, we highly encourage it. You know what? That's not enough. You don't, why, you know, you can't just sit on the fence on this. You have to be on one side of it. And I think that's obviously why we're a huge hotspot here in Arizona, because people don't want to take the necessary steps to be better. So, you know, if you're out there, and I understand if people have to work and stuff like that, please be responsible.
And there are people, I do understand, that probably really don't have access or can't afford a mask. So if you do have money, we'll also be posting a link. It's Mutual Aid PHX. That's the Instagram. And you can, if you need aid, you can seek it from them. Or if you're able to donate, you can donate anything from masks, hand sanitizer, toiletries, non-perishable food. So, you know, there are resources out there for you to connect with if you don't, you know, unfortunately have the funds right now. So we both are conscious of that. But I know there's still those of you out there, some of us are still able to help. And like Andrew said, just be socially responsible, wash your hands, wear a mask, especially if you have access or you're able to buy them. And Andrew actually is kind of has a connection to someone that works in one of the local Valley hospitals here. It's a major hospital. And what did they tell you really quick?
That the numbers that are being posted aren't the real numbers. There is that the ICU beds are filling up regularly. They've been filling up regularly. There was never a downward trot, and that they've always been full. So, you know, please be responsible. I understand that, like Joya said, not everyone can afford a mask. Please, if you can't afford a mask and stuff like that, there's resources. Stay home as much as you can.
Tie a shirt.
Anything. I've seen someone put like a spaghetti strap t-shirt around their face. Anything will work. Just please cover your mouth and nose.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening. If you are still out there, I appreciate every single listen, every single comment, every single well wish that we have gotten from people. And we just, like I said, I hope you guys really, really, really stick to this and that true change does happen and that we do are able to bring awareness and push these movements forward. And Black Lives Matter.